Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Death and immortality. For eons, it has plagued man with its questions. Is there really a way past death? The ancient Toltec seers have studied death and have learned much about it. But great changes in August of 2006 in the nature and forms of awareness has made death optional. Yet man has gone about his business, slumbering and not aware that this has happened. We can examine death and see what it is and how to overcome it. But resistance to life can cause a slow form of death by causing the loss of soul force, making immortality but a distant dream. We have with us the Master Ruchir, who has come from the Order of the White Dove, the sacred magical order in Ireland, that guards the feminine pole of white beneficial magic. He has come here to establish, according to long-held prophecies, the Order of the Dove, the positive pole of white magic upon this continent. I ask him at this time to read from Khalil Gibran's book, The Prophet, on death and dying.
Then Almitra spoke, saying, "We would ask now of death." And he says, "You would know the secret of death, but how shall you find it, unless you seek it in the heart of life? The owl whose night-bound eyes are blind unto the day cannot unveil the mystery of light. If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide unto the body of life. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. In the depth of your hopes and desires lies your silent knowledge of the beyond. And like seeds dreaming beneath the snow, your heart dreams of spring. Trust the dreams, for in them is hidden the gate to eternity. Your fear of death is but the trembling of the shepherd when he stands before the king, whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. Is the shepherd not joyful beneath his trembling, that he shall wear the mark of the king? Yet is he not more mindful of his trembling? For what is it to die, but to stand naked in the wind and to melt into the sun? And what is to cease breathing, but to free the breath from its restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek God unencumbered? Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And when you have reached the mountaintop, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance."
Never in the multiple years in which I did healings did someone come before me with a life-threatening disease, but that I found within them repressed life. They have in all instances denied themselves. Death claims those that are afraid to live. But is death necessary? Beloved ones, in Revelations, you will find that it speaks of a time when all death shall be done away. We are in that time. Much of Revelations has been entirely fulfilled already. And it was done in August of 2006. For in 2006, let me do that piece again, for in 2006, a monumental change occurred. It was the change of awareness. For eons, Toltec seers have described death as a tumbling force. They knew that there was some powerful grinding force pummeling the luminous cocoon of man. But they were unable to identify this force. The luminous cocoon of man consists of seven bodies: the physical, the etheric, the emotional, that we see show up in aura photography, the mental, the spiritual emotional, and the spirit mental, as well as the seventh body, which is the spirit body. These are stacked inside one another like Russian dolls and form the luminous cocoon of man. Death was a pummeling force, a grinding force that ground against that luminous cocoon. And when it won, the cocoon cracked all the way through and folded upon itself. This tumbling of the luminous cocoon of man caused wear and tear, leaking energy, and in turn caused aging. Eventually, when enough energy had leaked out, the cocoon could no longer withstand the tumbling forces. It would crack and crumpled upon itself. The more life was resisted, the more the wear and tear on the cocoon. Until January of 2005, the seers could not understand what constituted this grinding force. But then a third form of awareness was discovered. Seers knew that trillions of spiraling rays of awareness were radiating forth from some inconceivably powerful source. But the fact that they also arced eluded them. It is this movement, however, that caused the grinding force against the bodies of man. They called death the tumbler. But the tumbler was nothing more than the movement of awareness. There were a few rare individuals called saints, from the Lemurian word sun, meaning one who cooperated with the serpents of heaven, or, as we can see, the spirals of awareness. Such a one managed to thwart death, because instead of resisting these trillions of spiraling, grinding rays of awareness, they turned them into a power source through embodying the ascension attitudes of love and praise and gratitude. In this creation of existence, light and frequencies attracted their opposite aspects. Actually, I would like to do that over. But in 2006, in August, on the fateful day, there was a sudden reverse in the polarity of the cosmos. And through various successive events, the spirals of awareness that for trillions and trillions of years have moved in little tiny spirals that arced, forming a huge donut, and creating the in-breaths and out-breaths of God, were in an instant shattered. Small, infinitesimally small, fragments of awareness spread across. across existence. The tumbler was no more. The words of Christ as he spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelations, that death shall be done away with and all things shall be made anew, were fulfilled. Now awareness no longer moved. There was no longer a grinding force. It became inert. This also meant that there is no more death. No more spiraling rays of moving awareness trying to break down the resistance of our luminous cocoon. We are no longer stalked by death. If we continue to fight imaginary shadows in a cosmos of light, we may drain our cocoon's energy. If we believe in and court the illusion of death, which is now non-existence, we can manifest it. Toltecs viewed death in two ways. It was used as the exterminator, but it was also used as an advisor. Toltecs viewed death as an advisor because it always brushed against the luminous cocoon and kept them constantly aware. They lived with alertness, expecting moment by moment to have to make their last stand. But as of August of 2006, there is a new creation, and they are led not by an external threat, but by the pure emotions of their hearts. They must allow the innocence of the heart to again expect with childlike certainty that life can be good and pure and beautiful. After all, it is now a reflection of the Infinite Mother. Beloved ones, immortality now is no longer just a dream. It is our birthright. Some who have managed to slip past the grips of death have told about it, but very few have explained exactly how to overcome death as an enemy and an extinguisher.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Death has been vanquished. If it has been vanquished, what is it that still creates the illusion of death that is so painfully real to those who are lost to us in death? Beloved ones, there are the exceptions, the beloved children, those who have just a short allotted time in which they wish to spend in physicality. But there are those that death is claiming slowly, when it is an illusion? How is this possible? To understand why we are succumbing to something that has no real foundation, we need to understand the law of gravity. The law of gravity is the feminine pole of a set of laws. The law of gravity is the feminine aspect, and the law of levitation is the masculine aspect. Life must pulse between receptiveness and proactiveness, between listening to the guidance of our heart and living a path with heart. If the pure emotions that are within us, if the pure states of being that we have come to know are not pulsed between the proactive and the receptive, if instead we live a life filled with busy doingness or put our focus on the negative, we do not pulse the feminine aspect of our lives, of a life of beingness. It is when the feminine and the masculine poles within us become distorted that the feminine pole of existence, which is gravity, begins to claim us. The law of gravity applies to the physical. We know that what goes up must come down or fall back again upon the earth itself. But does it have to be that way? We have not looked at the other side of the coin, the law of levitation. Everything has its opposite. White and black, positive, negative, proactive, receptive. The very power of creation works that way, with destructuring and regeneration. Destructuring is the law of gravity. Regeneration is the law of levitation. They are just the different aspects of those two laws. Regeneration and destructuring are the positive poles of levitation and gravity. It is thus imperative that we live in a deep and meaningful way, that we take time to receive the gifts of life. Have we seen the colors of the dawn? Have we risen up to greet the new day, giving it the reverence that such a holy gift deserves? Are we grateful? For it is through gratitude that ascension happens. It is through gratitude that we receive and bring balance to our feminine pole. I read from Sons of God by Christine Mercy. The law of gravity is the negative phase of this plane of existence. It is the female, the night aspect, the negative manifestation of the divine principle. It is the mortal or physical or mother aspect of the pole of creation and balance. Gravity is the complete physical action of material existence. It is the law of the earthy, dense, tangible form. It is the law of tangible matter, which in most languages is quite literally mother. Matter, mother. But always, for every existing thing, there is an opposite in existence, though not always manifest to mortal understanding eyes. In other words, what is being written here is that if we do not take time to hear the marching orders of our life through the microphone of our heart, pulled in from the unseen realms where perfection hides behind appearances, beloved ones, we are living primarily in gravity, which is the material life. It is in the material life where gravity holds sway. And unless we take time for that deep, meaningful living, for the whisperings of spirit, for the appreciation of the beauty around us, if we instead fail to see that the thorn bush by the wayside is ablaze with the glory of the goddess, we become subject to gravity, leaking our energy, claiming us eventually into the earth, dust to dust. But you see, everything has an opposite. Balanced against the mortal or physical plane, there is the spiritual. Against the law of gravity rests the law of levitation, the spiritual aspect of the eternal law of creation and of all existence. My brothers and sisters, consider the earth, how heavy and dense it is. It seems immovable. It has rocks and sands. Yet, with the touch of spring, beautiful life bursts forth in a magnificent and diverse array. Blades of grass and trees and flowers and foliage reaching up, ever up. This is the spiritual phase of existence, the regeneration. And it is here in full manifestation. It's the law of growth, of levitation in a milder form, becoming manifest in a very small degree. The earth itself, heavy and dense, will glide light as a feather in its way and course through space. It does not falter and it does not fall. Guided by supreme intelligence, it floats upon the mother's love. And thus the earth, light as a feather in space, is subject not only to its own gravitational pull, but to the law of levitation. This floating power, this very speed of wings of light, is the opposite pole of gravitation in complete manifestation. It is levitation. It is the spiritual pole as opposed to the physical, mortal, negative pole of gravitation. It is the positive manifestation of the great eternal law of creation and existence. Death, as the tumbler, might have ceased to exist, but as long as we are focused on the physical, death still can claim us. For the physical, as the law of gravitation, is a purification rite which destructures the body and causes old age and eventually death. Destructuring is vital, but it cannot outpace levitation or that which regenerates. It is that which regenerates which comes from living a self-examined life, from learning the lessons, even the most minute things in our daily environment whisper to us. Becoming sensitive to the whispers of our own hearts and the voice of our conscience, the body truth that whispers that it wishes to be somewhere else than in the presence of someone that on the surface might seem very acceptable. The heart knows where there's emptiness. It knows where form lies. When we live only in mind, we stare blindly against appearances, believing them to be real. It is then that we are claimed by gravitation. Take time for the deep, meaningful living that lives with reverence, that walks upon the ground as holy ground, where every act is deliberate, where the very bath or shower we take is an act of purification and a holy rite. To live this way is to bring the spiritual into the material. It is this which will set us free from death.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Bhavaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almaine. To learn more about Almaine and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
There are those in the past, great masters of light, and those in the present that have overcome death. Yet the message of their lives has seldom been understood. Even the message of the one known as Jesus, a loving sacrifice. But many have missed that message as well. Son of God, you say, a man of virgin birth, and that makes him different. You are a mere mortal born of flesh. You cannot be expected to do the sort of thing that he did. It furnishes a perfect excuse for not trying. I read From the Door of Everything by Ruby Nelson. You are letting the loving sacrifice of your greatest teacher go to waste. Each time you turn away and bother not to comprehend the example he set for all to follow, you are driving more nails into the cross, crucifying not him but your own self over and over again. For you are just as surely a son of God as Jesus is. The soul in each of you is a living part of me. As soon as you let it stand forth in full expression, your body will be as indestructible as your greatest teacher's was. You can come and go like the wind, and no one will know from whence or whither, just as it was with Jesus. For your body will be transmuted into a fast, vibrating organism that can carry the high potency of my Holy Spirit. And if you should choose to make the sacrifice of death and resurrection to reveal the truth of everlasting life, you will be richly rewarded. Such a sacrifice, made to show the unbelieving surface minds, will release so much love within your soul that you could float a solar system upon this love, and still it would keep gushing up and pouring out into the deep. The hardest task that surface mind must face, if it is to cooperate with my will, is the task of unlearning ideas universally accepted as truth and taken on such implausible ideas as belief in unlimited inner powers and eternal life for all. My unhappy earth children should be delighted when they hear the good news that the message of the Christ contains. But some reject it, either because of fear or doubt, or because a little too much mental effort is required to push old opinions out of consciousness. History bears witness to the fact that few of the ancestors that are handing to us their views, my brothers and sisters, understood the message of eternal life as not only a possibility, but a probability. Why look at their teachings? Why look at what the traditions teach? They are like the blind leading the blind, and together they all fall into the dish. The first step of overcoming death is to overcome our belief systems, to withdraw from the grid which is the lines of light lying around this planet, teaching all humanity how to behave. Race beliefs has not served us, but has brought chaos and too much destructuring. For regeneration, we must reject it. We must look instead at the whisperings of our heart, when it whispers that such a thing is not only true, but possible. If we wish to shift, to realize that we can have everything, we can have the joy, the passion, the happiness of eternal life. For many of you would say that eternal life is not worth having, for life is dreary and dark. But that is because we have created it that way. We were meant to create all things that our hearts desire. But distortion of mind whispered erroneous desires to the heart, and thus we created imperfection. But underlying this web of appearances is the true perfection intended as the blueprint of life. It is within this blueprint that immortality can be found. Cherish this revelation, this seed of truth within you. And even though, in the beginning, doubts may indeed arise, banish them the way you would banish cockroaches by turning on the light. They have no place here. And immediately put in the place a call to the divine, help thou my unbelief. Replaced instead with a vision so beautiful, with the full realization of your true identity, your master design, that it may suddenly burst upon your mind, or at least lay a seed of truth to be planted, nourished, cherished, and allowed to mature to fruition. Many ask, how long does it take to reach this desired state of immortality and ascended mastery? It may take but a matter of weeks. Can you sing your praises with your heart in every moment of your wakeful day? Can love pour forth through your heart until it feels as though it will burst? And then indeed it does, and tears flood you as love pours for every creature. Can you, in fact, be grateful for every single thing for even a few weeks, in great, great fervor from your opened heart? If this is the case, beloved ones, it may be a matter of weeks. not the ones that have to create this miracle in the flesh. All we have to do is be receptive to the inpouring of spirit, that we may become subject to the law of levitation. It is the divine mother of all life, giver of all creation, that will do the work. All we have to do is align ourselves with the infinite, and we shall become that which is. And that which is knows not death. Beloved ones, until we understand that even the tomato or the peach on our tree is a complete miracle, perhaps it may be difficult for us to embrace the bigger miracles, such as a promise of eternal life, or a promise that death at last has been vanquished. But it too is a miracle. And although all nature mirrors decay, it is because we ourselves, as the primary species on the planet, in terms of complexity of expression, do so. Every species has a grid. And the time will come when we are fed by light and the beautiful, beautiful life forms around us too have found their immortality. I read again from the door of everything. Each life I give you a new opportunity, a second, third, and fourth chance ad infinitum, to put your hand in mine and let me exalt your mind and body to that godlike level wherein you have dominion over all appearances. And I would add here, even the last enemy, the last appearance, which is death. And I continue. My entire cosmos is made up in very orderly fashion. All my galaxies follow the same general pattern, though when you start to explore them, you discover no two are alike in detail. All my suns are round, so to speak. None of them are square. All my microcosmic motions follow similar basic specifications. The same divine perfection was intended for all my children. Within the pattern of your being is contained your originality and your freedom to express it. But first you must show that you are willing to fulfill your cosmic selfhood and go purposefully about the business of your Father consciousness before you will experience this universal perfection. As long as intent only, as long as you are intent only on the purposes of your human selfhood, the web of sub-creation will continue to grow up around you, blinding you to reality. When nothing matters to you except my will be done, I will know that you are ready to put your hand in mine, at mine, and I will lift you off the wheel, then come in and feast with you, filling your body with my fires of purification, dissolving all the sins in you as sunlight dissolves shadow, transmuting the cells from end to end of you into my perfect spiritual substance.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. application of its techniques removes all barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Beloved ones, in more ways than one, we have pointed out that it is in resistance to life that our life force energy is leaked out, and decay happens, and destructuring is happening at a faster speed than regeneration. Living in love and praise and gratitude. Living in love and praise and gratitude brings about the regeneration of cells. That is why they are, in fact, the ascension attitudes. They are also moving forces that attract those infinitesimal rays of awareness towards you. As they attract it towards you, love, praise, and gratitude brings higher forms of awareness until you are filled with so much light that the body must transfigure. And as it does so, you become an immortal being. Christ relinquished himself completely to me that day on the cross. I'm reading now again from The Door of Everything. The personality, the body, the desires of the surface mind, all were handed over to my will. His crucifixion symbolized the complete letting go of self, which I must ask of all my children. For he who loses his life for my sake shall find it in his greater selfhood. Your surface personality is of little worth in my kingdom, since you are like the tomato seed, the personality being the hull, which is needed no more as soon as the kernel is allowed to sprout. This relinquishing of your surface self may take a lot of effort. It may be enough to keep you occupied for quite some time if you are in the deep-seated habit, as are most of my earth children. But you will be richly rewarded if you can cast away old patterns of thought, old habits of doubt, and keep the image of yourself as the living Christ in your mind's eye so strongly, your focus never wanders and your subconscious feelings never falter in reacting in accordance with this truth. Do not condemn yourself if you are weak and old reactions creep in. Neither do I condemn you. Just remember, all things are possible to those who love God. And soon as you try again, the former manner of thinking will have passed away. The Christ nature in all will seep through into your surface mind, and you will be quite naturally merging into the high ideal which has been implanted by my word. My brothers and sisters, cell by cell by cell, you become transformed. And in ascended mastery, there are three very distinct stages. And most of the masters that are in my classes, transformed by those holy experiences which we share there, and also by grace through the presence of other masters, find themselves in one of three stages, which is all part of the ascended mastery level. The first stage is, in fact, the totally silent mind. In this stage, your body is not yet immortal, and you live a life in which you are one with the river of life that flows through you. As my books are written, so you live, in total silence, automatically with a pen and paper. Automatic living becomes part of this first phase of ascended mastery, the phase of the totally silent mind. The next phase is indeed the place where the body becomes immortal. It is the phase of immortality. In this phase, if you have become, in fact, part of that which is eternal time, allowing yourself just to be, without anticipating the next moment or living in the last, the body itself experiences a lightning flash, an electrical impulse originating in the pineal gland, excreting the life hormone instead of the death. And it will go through your body as a lightning flash, changing it from end to end into immortality and eternal life. The last phase that you get is the phase of ascension. And in the phase of ascension, you now have the option of vibrating out of this reality into the realm of all those who have overcome while in the flesh, from all races, all creeds, all religions, those who have laid their egoic self upon the altar of the infinite, who have given up all of their experience to the glory of the God or the Goddess. At that point, they have vibrated out, forming what is known as the White Brotherhood of Light, the realm in which the Ascended Masters dwell. This is the place of life more abundant, where this choice is indeed available to you. Beloved ones, to be in eternal time, to make sure that your body itself is fully able to become immortal and to prepare itself for the lightning flash of immortality, you need to understand that it is not the same as meditation. Meditation lives in expanded awareness, hardly aware of the now, of whether or not you are uncomfortable in your position, whether or not there is an itch on your nose. Deep meditation sees only the ego perspective. It is, in fact, the full attention to the moment that is living a life of eternal now. When you are living in the now, there is a figure eight that loops through the life force center, which until recently was located behind the belly button. 1 minute. Mother recently moved it to the heart center. The figure eight is vertical when you live in eternal time, when you experience without resistance to life, innocently in the moment, spontaneously heeding the promptings of your heart. When you oppose life, that figure eight becomes the zivuya, the loops of time, and it then tilts horizontally so that the future lies before you and the past behind you in a loop. We cannot live in linear time and become immortal masters. Take the time just to spend a week, a weekend, rising when you're awake, eating when you're hungry, simply sitting away from the phones and faxes and the noise and away from those you need to interact with. Even if it is one day or 1 hour a week or 20 minutes a day, experience fully the moment. In this way, you are preparing your body for the most glorious gift the infinite goddess has given. The gift of immortality.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.